And 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just gonna read it to himself.
If people from Mandalore are Mandalorians, are people from Bangalore called Bangalorians? No, that's not good. How about this one? I asked the Mandalorian what he was drinking after a workout. This is the whey.
Ah, like whey protein. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Watch this to the end.
Yeah, hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to the Asteroid Factory Podcast, where our nerd knowledge is on point.
Oh, like whey protein.
James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And woo, it's a scary Three Toes of Fury Halloween special.
A little late.
Shh.
A little late.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about the return of the Mandalorian, right?
Huzzah.
It is the way indeed.
Yeah, but first we need to get to our Asteroid Picks of the Week. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Three Toes?
Doom, can you see him in?
Do the thing, Three Toes.
You got it. I'm going to do that thing that I do. All right, so I actually was planning on doing an entire like Halloween theme because we didn't get an episode in before it, but Halloween's a relatively special time in this household, and so I had a couple scary movies queued up, was all set, and that has all been pushed to the wayside. So maybe next time I'll pretend like I had taped it 2 episodes ago. All right, courtroom movies. Hook me up. I was trying to think about this on the way here. What are some of your favorite movies that have taken place in the courtroom? I'm going with A Few Good Men. Is it a huge one, right? You can't handle the truth. There's a great, great classic movie. And I don't know a lot about classics, but fuck, this one's good. Called 12 Angry Men, which was outstanding. Give me some others. What are some of your favorite movies that take place with a big part of it takes place with some crazy good defendant and the other guy drama?
I just fell asleep. What were you talking about?
God damn, that's so much for my setup. Well, I happen to like them. But somehow I can't only go with a couple. I mean,
12 Angry Men was always big. Even when I went to, when I took a couple of film classes, I remember we watched that in film class, and that was a great movie. To be honest with you, I don't gravitate towards courtroom dramas.
Totally agree. And that's why my pick, you can just shut the fuck up. All right, so with no further ado, I sat down and watched the new released on Netflix, Trial of the Chicago 7. I hope that's the title. I didn't even pay attention.
I heard that was really good.
It's fucking brilliant.
Really?
It's,
okay.
I put it down as, it is the first time, and I've watched a lot of like direct to Netflix movies because I think that's what all of us are going to do for a while. And a lot of them are like, oh, that was good, but I pretty much forgot about it. Although most of them have been like action movies. I did really like the, was it The Defy of Bloods? That one was exceptional. But this one is the first movie that I think I've ever seen where I was like, oh, fuck, this should have been in the theaters. I'm sure I think somebody's already talked about it. This should win an Oscar. It is a courtroom movie. So Chewy, Ophelia, and it's a long one, and it's over two hours and change, but it is so fucking well done. And I realized at the end, and it's the only thing I'll probably give away, was that this is an Alan Sorkin piece, and it turns out I think I really like. So okay. I've never been a West Wing guy. Were either of you? I think you were, Doom. West Wing.
No.
Chewy.
No, not at all.
Okay, people have told me to watch that for years, and I know that was sort of Sorkin's gateway into the world. Sorkin is known for that series. He's known for his he's a writer, script writer. I should know more about his bibliography. He did the Steve Jobs movie, which I've recently been rewatching clips from, and the writing's incredible. He's done a lot of stuff. Like, he's known as like one of these like guys who writes this massive amount of dialogue, incredible back and forth. So he wrote and directed this, and it's so well done, and it takes place around the riots in Chicago, near and dear to all of us, in the 68 Democratic Convention. So it's weirdly...
Neither me nor Doom were alive. Sorry about that.
Well, I was there with these guys protesting, man. Peace, love, dope. Woodstock, baby. But it's actually, that's a good point, because I knew bits and pieces about this convention from, at one point, I think I got into Hunter Thompson, and I think he had some stuff on it. But it's so weirdly perfectly timed with just how our society is falling apart and we're dealing with this on different levels.
Yeah.
But it takes place in terms of, it's kind of the government versus the hippies trying to make examples of these leaders of groups that kind of came to that convention to either incite violence or to just peacefully protest. And that's the entire premise of the movie. And that's all you need to know. So it probably doesn't even scratch a lot of itches for people, like, 'cause it's boring, it's courtroom, but the way that they present each of these characters, and they're very different, the way that they handle the courtroom scenes, the back and forth between a kind of crookedish judge and the fact that the government is really against these guys, and some of the shit that gets pulled is nail biting. I loved every minute of it. It's incredible. You do have to kind of connect with courtroom dramas. If that's not your thing, that's all this movie is. There's some cutaways to the actual events, which I was surprised by. But I every minute of it, I was like, I want more. And so I highly, highly suggest it for people. I think it's definitely one of the best things that's out there right now in streaming. So
and that's on what service?
Netflix, Trial of Chicago 7. I really should know the title. Yeah. I feel that's it.
Yeah, Trial of Chicago 7. So if I was going to choose a Sacha Baron Cohen movie to watch, should I choose this or Borat 2?
Well, the weird thing about that is it's a great question, because that Borat 2 is getting a ton of press. I am so not on the Borat train. I've never seen Borat 1. I've seen very little of Ali G, so I'm very behind the curve. I feel like I need to, and especially seeing some of the shit that got dragged up in the new one. But he's awesome in this. Like, I didn't even know it was him. He's so good.
Gotcha.
He plays the leader of the hippie dippy guys. So
I've heard some really
hippie dippy guys.
The hippies, hippie hippies. Yeah.
I've heard some really negative reviews about the Borat
really?
Sequel.
I heard just
saying how it's just more of the same, and it's just more of that shock value stuff.
Right, which is I think the original, that's maybe why I shied away. It just seemed a little bit kind of, I don't know, redundant.
It's hard for me to understand how is it possible for people to not know who the fuck he is at this point? Like, and apparently
that's the problem.
I think part of the movie was that they did, and they got, like, you know, they figured it out it was him, but. Like, I mean, I have a hard time believing these are earnest reactions when it's like he was the biggest, you know, character of, I don't even know, 2007? Shit, what year did that come out?
Yeah, I'd heard a thing on one of the documentaries for the Jackass guys, where they said the same thing, is they got more popular when they tried to do stunts and bits that involve kind of public settings. Like, everybody's just like, oh, you're so-and-so from Jackass. That's why they kind of skewed towards the disguise old man bit, which is the one I kind of always hated. I think in Ali G's case, Sacha Baron Cohen, that he did. I think he does more disguises in this movie. I think I saw in some of the clips, but
yeah, he does. He does.
And it's same with those guys. I've never watched them. Are you guys? If we talk about this, fans of Impractical Jokers.
Oh, I am. I am not.
Okay, yeah. They're huge, and I know nothing about them. So they could prank me, and I wouldn't know them at all.
Gotcha. Trial of the Chicago 7.
Check it out. At least give it a go. It's great. Hell, it even made me appreciate Eddie Redmayne, who I normally just don't like. So
really, but he was in that movie with Jupiter Ascending.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I need to, because that's
no, you don't. No, you
no,
don't.
I need to. It's no. That's isn't it the sisters now?
It might be the Wachowskis.
Wachowskis, I think it is.
You can skip it. I mean, as a friend, skip it.
I feel like I need to see that one in Cloud Atlas. Which is weird.
Yeah.
I really like the Wachowskis.
Okay. Trial of Chicago 7 feels very highbrow for a guy like myself, who was watching the Creep Show Shudder show yesterday.
That was going to be one of my picks.
Was it?
Did you watch it?
I watched the first episode.
Did you like it?
I did. And the one thing that took me a little bit of time to kind of get adjusted to was that 90s mentality of, we can tell a horror story that really doesn't have a point.
Yep.
But to creep you out. Like,
yep.
It's only meant to creep you out, and there's enough story there to kind of pull you through and thread you along. But then at the end of the day, there's really no point to the story.
It's like a one sentence plot, but it's so well executed. And it's so, and I was like, somebody had to have done this before, but I think I might've read the story. So good. Yeah. That's all right. Fine. You said it. I get to push it in there. if you have Shudder, check out Creep Show's special that just dropped for the new season. It's a two parter animated special. The animation is good, but rudimentary. But the two stories were written by Stephen King and his son, Joe Hill.
Yeah. Really good.
Wait till you get to the next one. Ooh.
Oh yeah. Doom, do you want to go next?
You can go next if you'd like.
Okay, who wants to see me in?
Three toes, do it.
You betcha. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Doom's... Wait, this is not Doom's pick of the week. This is Chewy's Halloween scary pick of the week for our special Halloween episode.
Shit, I wasn't prepared. So my pick was going to be The Mandalorian, but since we're talking about The Mandalorian, I'm going to back off of that one. I did want to mention that I did finally finish Devs, and Devs is AAA amazing at the end of it. Happy that it ended, though. It's one of those experiences where I was kind of happy that there was a nice, succinct ending to it, and there was no more to experience, which is a really weird review. But my pick of the week is something very strange. And it's not something particular. It's an experience that I had today that was due to the fact that Doom sent me something through Instagram.
Oh, and Jesus. I feel like don't put me on blast here, Chewy.
I feel like you're going to move into an area of oversharing that this podcast is not ready for.
No, so listeners of this podcast will not be foreign to this, what I'm about to say, and neither will you guys. You sent me a clip from Endgame.
Oh.
And how many times have we watched that movie? How many times, like, collectively, it's probably maybe in the hundreds.
Not gonna lie, I fell asleep when we were watching in the theaters, and I haven't gone back. So don't tell me the ending. Just know Thanos does some crazy shit.
But I wanted to take my time in my pick this week just to kind of share the fact that, so you sent me a little clip, and it's that very popular clip of the camera panning through the crowd of heroes right before Captain America catches the hammer and says, "Avengers assemble."
Yes.
Yeah. And I think like the meme above it or the meme below it, I don't even remember what it said. All I know is that when it started playing, I told myself, I'm like, this isn't going to hit me again. Like, this isn't going to hit me hard. And I watched it on a little like low def Instagram post on my phone. And I was like, it's not going to give me goosebumps. It's not going to give me goosebumps. It's not going to give me goosebumps. And by me telling myself that, I actually started like crying. Okay. I was like, does this still hit me emotionally? And then I watched it again, and I was trying to pick it apart in my brain and trying to analyze like why this was still hitting me emotionally. And then I started thinking of like, as the camera was panning, like maybe on my 14th watch of the scene, as the camera was panning through all the heroes, like the first time I watched it, my eye caught Spider-Man. Then I started to remember his path to this point in time. Then my eye caught Thor, and then my brain started thinking of his path to this point in time. And then I started to realize that because we had watched all of these movies leading up to this one point in time, we were set up to almost emotionally break down or explode or melt or start crying at this point in time when Cap says, "Avengers assemble." And it was just something I wanted to share that, like, I didn't think I would be affected by that movie or that scene watching it maybe for the, I don't know, 85th time, especially mm-hmm. watching it through a little Instagram post. So I wanted to thank you, Doom, for sending that.
My man.
I salute you, sir.
Thank you for making me cry this afternoon.
Dude, that's awesome. And Doom, when I catch up on Instagram in about 2 months and I start crying.
2 years, I think.
Pretty much. Dude, yeah. And I swear to you, Chewy, I just noticed your background. That's hilarious. Your Zoom, for those of us who are listening, his Zoom background is the kind of the big attack scene as they all charge in. That makes total sense to me. It's one of those where, and we've talked about it a lot, but we can talk about it every episode from here out. The ability for them to write, execute, direct, act, and just stick the landing time mm-hmm. and time again in that movie is untouchable. Untouchable. It's so much so that, you know what I think about a lot often is I'll listen to podcasts where people will rip on comic book movies, and it's fine. It's not their thing. I get it. But I literally feel so bad for those people that they're never going to get to experience that. Because if you just go in, penny for a pound, and you let yourself kind of get exposed to that, the MCU universe, and start to, you go in kind of skeptical, and it starts to get its hooks in you, fucking by the end, like, they have created a universe. They have created a family. They have given us experiences that are past a movie experience, that you are legitimately invested in these quote-unquote comic book characters. So for the payoffs and the pain and the stuff, the emotion that comes through that stuff, fucking palpable, dude. Fucking palpable. I love it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I will say this. If someone asked me if any theater experience has topped seeing that movie in the theaters with you guys, I would be really hard pressed to try to find some other experience that I've had. I have other experiences that I yep. can remember that have been amazing, but nothing has been that explosively emotional in the theaters.
With you. Love it. And you know what? And I'm kind of glad I didn't see that clip, because all it would do is the same thing every time, like one of those things comes up does, is I'm like, I got to put aside 7 hours to watch those two movies back to back. Because I'm dying to. I mean, I've seen 100 times and I'm dying to revisit them. They're that good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Totally. Doom, you ready for your pick of the week?
Yeah, Biddy.
Okay, I'll see you in. So a lot of you guys listening to this podcast, I know, are super excited to watch The Mandalorian. You're probably not that excited for Doom's pick of the week. Shoot, Doom, do it.
I mean, if I'm second to The Mandalorian, I'm going to take that as a W. My pick of the week is, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It is a show called
Cuties.
No, I don't like oranges. It's a show called Truth Seekers.
Who started it?
It is with Simon Pegg and Nick. Really, it's Nick Frost's show.
Is it good? Is it good?
I love it. I mean, it's like a. I don't want to say it's definitely not to the caliber of Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz. I mean, it's good though, and it's very well written, and
you rascally rabbit, I'm gonna get those ghosts.
Was that British slang?
Yeah, exactly. you know what? I didn't know if at first I wasn't like hooked and sold on it, but the wife, that's like her. That is her Marvel universe. Simon Pegg is like her favorite actor. She loves Shaun of the Dead as her favorite movie. So she's like, I want to give this a shot. You know, let's watch episode 2.
Yeah.
And like episode 2 is what actually hooked me. They pulled in a character from Hot Fuzz, one of the detectives. And it was, they also started, if you watch those movies, you know the very specific type of humor you're going to get. I mean, the quick cuts, the funny, you know, unexpected deliveries. And that's really where episode 2 kind of, it kind of fell into itself in a good way. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board now. I mean, it's fucked up. I mean, it's a good show, but like there's weird things. And I thought it was a full-fledged comedy.
Right.
And it is definitely a horror comedy. I mean, not like you're going to see like, I was just thinking about it. Makes me want to throw up. Not like Bone Tomahawk.
What? How am I supposed to process going from like fucking Avengers Hammer scene, which is insane, to Bone Tomahawk, which is years of therapy will never undo that.
I know. Years. I think on my deathbed, if Chewie's still alive, I'm gonna be like, tell my kids to go to his house and slap him for ever telling me to watch that fucking
Exactly. That's what they want your the final words to your like, family to be.
I loved my life. Somebody slapped Chewie for me. I'm out of here. No, but it's a good show. I mean, you know, Nick Frost is the main actor in it, but I like the ensemble cast. Simon Pegg is his boss. He works He works at a cable company, and it's called Smile. I thought it was Smule because the Y is very hard to read. Okay, I'm just saying. But their slogan is "We connect worlds." Duh. Then it makes you start to think, you know, other worlds, like not ghosts, but like actually other worlds. So it's cool. Like it's really just like a supernatural show. And it's funny and it's got good heart, and you start to learn about the characters. I mean, we're 3 or 4 episodes in and I am now invested and I do want to see how it plays. I think it's only 8 episodes, but if you're a fan of the British humor, you got to do yourself a favor and give it a shot.
That's great. I'm so glad you tried it out. I actually queued it up because I've been waiting for that one forever. Started episode 1, but I was like, I'm not in the right headspace. So I had to stop it because I'm like, I really want to get into the show. So I'm glad to hear. And definitely if it's a vote of approval from you and more so your wife, because, she's the resident expert. She's the Peg Wright expert. So that's awesome.
Yeah, she loved it. Loved it.
Did you see Nick Frost on social media, like shaved his head and shaved his beard off. Looks completely different. Yeah.
Was that Jack Black?
He did that too. That's right.
Yeah, Jack Black did that too. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, Truth Seekers, a supernatural show. Well, I know how big of a fan you are of Supernatural ever since you cosplayed. Supernatural. cosplayed at C2E2.
Right. That's not Supernatural. I cosplay as comic book characters, man.
Right.
Maybe I should cosplay as I don't even know anything from Supernatural now. Fuck.
Supernatural has a huge following at all.
Oh, the show. I mean, I guess I could go as a character from the show Supernatural. I've never seen an episode though.
What?
Ironically, never once.
How is that possible? You were like absolutely the resident nerd on things like that. I would have.
I know it's huge. I mean, I remember like in college, people were like, dude, you should watch Supernatural. I'm like, ah,
really?
I don't got the time for this shit. Like, wow. How many seasons has that been on? Like 20?
30. I saw it like, I think in like early in its run, maybe second or third season, I watched a bit of it. It was great, but I don't know. I guess it kind of ran its course for me. And it's certainly nothing I wanted to spend like 10 years with. So. But it's huge, huge nerd following in general. Mm-hmm. And I think, did it end or is it ending?
Yes, I think it did end.
That's one where I'd really want to know from somebody who was totally into it if they liked the ending. Because that's a show that almost feels like it has to do well for its fans.
The final episode was November. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know how to read a calendar. The final episode is this 19th, the 19th of December.
Jeez, Louise, we are that. How we Jeez. Are. Pulse on the nation of the finger of the what?
15 fucking years.
Taint, what?
15 years.
It always looked like a spinoff of like Xena to me. That's why I never touched it.
Xena anyway, was in the fucking old Greek, man.
Speaking of Xena, let's talk about the Mandalorian. How'd you like that transition?
This guy is a pro at segues. He just
segways.
Gets segway. It. Finger on the pulse of the whatever over here.
Smooth as glass.
We've all watched the first episode, and that's where we are right now in the season. This is season that's being dropped every week, which is something that I think all three of us are.
So really what you're saying is, Chewie, we should give this a 1 out of 5 stars because I have to wait to watch it.
Damn it, I want to blah, blah, blah. Dude, you just went totally blurry there, dude. Yeah. What's going on?
I am.
Did you just put on a weird filter?
I think the light behind me is changing.
Maybe just blinded us. Odd. Yeah. But yeah, so totally, like, I won't even watch the show if they're not going to let me watch it all at once.
No, fuck it.
Fuck that noise.
Well, you hit the point I was going to make. We need to give our final review right now after season one. Yeah. And what's crazy is I think we'd all give it a great review, right? I'm giving it 3 out of 10.
I'm giving it 13 out of 10 to offset your shit show score. Yeah.
Do any of you want to kind of give your like initial thoughts? Like off the bat first, after watching
how long were the episodes last year?
It was an hour. They're 55
minutes. Are they each? For some reason, I thought it was like, oh, no, I remember when we went into last season, I went in jaded because there was some deal about there was a shorter season and the episode length changed and people were shitting on that one. I remember us talking about that. So anywho, coming into this out of the gates, I was like, oh, an hour episode for the pilot? This seems fun. I'll start and say that I adored it. I feel like it was a mini movie. It was phenomenal.
I said it as I was watching it. I texted you guys. It is that 1 hour episode was single-handedly better than the new trilogy put together.
Yeah. They leaned into the Western more in this episode than they ever have before. I mean, Star Wars primarily is a samurai Western space opera.
Space baby.
But this is the hardest they've ever leaned into being a Western. I don't know if you heard, and I have to go back and watch the first season a little bit. When Mando was walking around, you heard spurs everywhere he walked. And I don't remember that from the first season. Go back and watch just any scene of Mando walking around, and you'll hear a jangle with every step that he takes. And that's probably what they're going to attribute to is his armor making that noise as he's walking. But it sounds just like spurs.
He's got a bunch of metal things on him. It was just the metal things clanging. God damn it.
But you honestly hit on, I think to me is probably the biggest thing I wanted to talk about in this episode was exactly that. And we did, I know we did when we talked about the show last year, but it's easy to kind of forget that, and you're right, more than ever, what they're doing, and they're not being sly about it or shy about it, but they're also not advertising about it, is they are absolutely mining classic Westerns, of which a genre I know very little about. I know some, but very little. But classic Western tropes, classic Western stories, classic Western setups, things that none of us, and certainly like none of our kids, none of our generation, really has paid that much attention to, because Western's kind of a dead genre for a lot of people that's around our age group.
Hey, man, I fucking love Westerns. So you need
go to on. Can you list me 3 Westerns before 1970?
Okay, not old Westerns. I didn't get into the old ones.
Your Honor. Hey, time to back, Your Honor. I'd like to rest my case.
The best Western ever is Tombstone. For the record, I don't give a shit when it was made. best Western movie of all time.
I'm not gonna disagree. That movie is.
But like The Quick and the Dead. I mean, I watched more of the recent ones. Yep. And then, I mean, who didn't watch, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and stuff like that?
Correct. So that's a fair bet.
But like pre-1970, shit, that wasn't, those were the old fucking West back in the 70s.
So I'm talking like John Ford. I'm talking like classic, I was going to say Clint Eastwood, but he's actually
what's
too popular.
What's his name? John Wayne?
John Wayne, stuff like, even pre
fucking
them.
Bonanza?
So, exactly. So that's exactly true. What you're saying is true, is they're taking that premise and all they're doing is couching it in a Star Wars verse. They're not changing it at all. They're just telling it through the Star Wars characters. And it works so well. This story about unifying two different towns that are at war with each other, we'll say, or two different groups, and saying, you guys got to get together to fight this big random base slash bad guy. I mean, it's just storytelling 101, but gosh, darn it, it works well because it is pure, it is basic, and it is fun. It's fun. So I ate that up with a spoon. And the fact that they brought, to bring in the sand people, and to like, you have to make an alliance with these guys. That's one of those where these guys, the writers and the show creators, really go deep into Star Wars lore, and they take a piece that we've always known in a certain way, and they kind of twist it a little bit.
I'm just glad. Like, I know this is going to be weird or sound weird, but like, I'm so happy we got to see the sand people like walking around and interact. They're not just screaming psychopaths who want to beat things with a club.
Yeah. Like, we don't have to be racist against sand people anymore.
Whoa. Okay, so Three Toes, I think I'm just going to address you for the rest of this cast.
It's for the best.
I mean, it's probably like, let's distance ourselves here.
I mean, I've always
Tusken
known
that Raiders, Tusken Raiders. We don't have to be racist against
Chewy,
Tusken Raiders
anymore.
Chewie,
what the fuck? You couldn't even call
them
that.
I've always heard Chewie say that he said their kind and things like that. And I was like, I kind of brushed it off, but it turns out.
I was always referring to Tusken Raiders.
Sure. Okay.
So, first question is that their face? My kid asked this, and I was like, I do not know the answer. Is that their face, or is that a covering of their face? Is there something under there?
Yeah.
Do we know what it is?
This whole episode is going to be a lead up to one Tusken Raider just unwrapping its face.
This whole season will be?
It's going to look like a fucking ball sack.
I mean, actually, you know what I thought would be amazing is if they did do that, at one point they like lost all the wrappings and it was like this stunning hot woman. And you'd be like, oh my God, forever. You thought they were these monsters. And you're like, what? Which would be kind of a good twist. But I'm with you on that. We got to spend some time with them, and it wasn't just like Anakin going through and assassinating them. It wasn't them trying to take
sans,
out Luke.
Yucky. Ew.
I did that. So that was a great idea. The writers, and I love the fact that the writers, while they give us some nods and little callbacks, and we're going to talk about the huge one in the room on this episode, I don't think they rely on it. Although I guess in this episode they've done something that nerds have wanted for.
Well, can we just address the elephant in the room?
Let's do it.
Not the fact that Boba Fett's alive. Why the fuck didn't he have any eyebrows?
There's a million questions.
Come on.
This whole season will be about how Boba Fett lost his eyebrows.
Well, so first things God first. God damn it, that I want to know.
Ladies and gentlemen, spoilers, we're going to talk about things that are spoiled in this episode. I am a little late on that note. So first things first, is that the Fett?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because it's the actor?
How many times has
he
been
No, because I don't
cloned?
Think there were much clone. Yeah, was there? Well, yeah, I don't think there was any clones on Tatooine. Wasn't that the whole thing?
So, what we're talking about is, and again, they did such a fucking amazing job, is the entire episode is just dealing with Boba Fett's armor. So it's introduced on this new character played by Timothy Oliphant, the great, as this kind of rogue sheriff of the town.
One thing. Do you think they meant to make him look awkward in it? Like he looked.
Thank you. I thought he was like.
Well, it was ill-fitting. Yeah. Like it was just a little ill-fitting. Like he was wearing it with that like red scarf on it. It's like
he's like a foot taller than Boba Fett.
Like he just didn't really understand how it was supposed to be worn, so he was just kind of wearing it. However,
I'm saying
he
looked dreamy to me. Yeah. Dreamy.
Of course he did.
So
I apologize. Go on.
Did you see his hair? It was perfect,
flawless, feathered, and lethal.
That's what I'm gonna do next time I go to Sports Clips, and they say, "What do you want? Feathered and lethal, baby."
The barber at that most whatever they called it in that little town is amazing.
Most
and this whole season is gonna be about. How that barbershop takes care of.
Look,
you're going to take any notes
you're
and say this whole season is about.
Is it about the eyebrows? Is it about Timothy's hair? I mean, we need to know.
So the episode, we see him with it. And even, again, I was watching it with my son, who's a huge fan. He's just like, oh, dude, is Boba Fett dead? I'm like, well, that's kind of what they're saying, is that somehow he got the armor from the Sarlacc pit, which sucks because nerds like the three of us have for a million years. And I'm going to call back to, what's his name, his filibuster, Patton Oswalt. Same thing. I mean, we've all been doing the same thing, which is no fucking way that the Fett died by the Sarlacc pit. There's just no way. He's out there.
He wasn't a good bounty hunter. It's been established.
He's out there. And so, but then when you see his armor, you're like, well, he's dead, but they got the armor. But then the twist at the end where we see the actor who played Jango Fett.
All the clones, yeah.
Which is, you know, basically in the prequels, it was a setup was that he is the proto-clone that all of them came from, including Boba. So the theory...
Except Boba's an unaltered clone. Don't you fucking forget it.
Okay, bring that on. What does that mean?
Yeah, so they like chipped all the clones.
Yep.
I think for the purpose of, you know, killing the Jedi and all that shit. But Boba is Jango Fett. He's a clone of him, but just an unaltered. Like, no chips, no, like, schooling, nothing. He just raised him as a baby.
How they expertly set up the reasoning behind how he could have survived the Sarlacc pit with Mando.
Yeah, when he jumps out of the fucking dragon.
Yeah, with Mando getting eaten by the dragon and then getting out of the dragon. So they're pretty much setting you up saying it's possible, and then they show you.
No, not only that, they doubled down on that shit. Did you hear,
I like that.
Did you hear about earlier where they're like, you know, there's no such thing as an empty Sarlacc's nest,
correct?
Sarlacc pit.
He ate the Sarlacc.
Yeah, there is if you eat the Sarlacc. Well, that's like, okay, so Fett was eaten by a Sarlacc, and if Mando can survive the thing that can eat the Sarlacc, there's no reason Boba Fett couldn't have gotten out of there.
Or did the thing that they killed eat the Sarlacc that the Fett was in, and then he got out when it got eaten? There's a million things there. Dude, I mean,
he crawled through the dragon's anus.
Yes, they crawled through a mile of shit to get out of that dragon's anus.
So what are you?
Andy Dufresne was a Jedi.
I'm just
working on that impression.
And print.
I'm picturing that scene from the second Ace Ventura movie where he wiggles his way out.
You're coming out of the rhinos.
Oh!
Yes. So are you guys hoping for like a scene where what we're considering is Boba Fett telling his story in like a flashback or something?
Yes.
With like, yeah.
Can I just say though, there's one thing I want. I want to have been proven wrong. Since, I mean, I didn't see it in 1983 because I wasn't alive yet. But when I did see it, and I was
filing
just
for
crushed,
my AARP card around then, I think.
Like, you know, I was crushed. Boba Fett, awesome, looked cool, seemed cool, went out like a bitch. No easy way of saying that other than
it was a joke.
It was, and that's like so. What I want more than anything,
Boba Fett. Where's Boba Fett? Into the.
I want Boba Fett to like fucking kick down a door with twin blasters and just annihilate like an army of people. I need to see it. I need redemption for him to get like, that's all I want. I mean, he doesn't have to speak. I just want to give like a nod and then just kill everybody.
He has to become the badass that we've always envisioned he
was.
Yes.
And this
never
is their, obviously their chance. Yeah.
I mean, other than like, we saw that he was smarter than everybody at kind of hunting down, was it Luke? Which one was it? Where he stayed on the back of the, when they did the whole garbage thing, and it was with the Slave One where he tracked him down. So we know he's a smart bounty hunter, but we haven't had a scene really badass. It's kind of like the scene with Vader at the end of Rogue One, where
which
it's
everyone
like,
hated, but.
But that scene was like, wow, you get to see unleashed, just this pure moment of like fury that you really like hadn't seen in that kind of a setting. And like, oh, fuck yeah, he was a badass. That's great. Same thing. Yeah. And I agree with you. That's what we need. And I'm thinking if the payoff is he is the Fett, he'll get back his armor. Maybe they'll wait to the end of the season for him to suit up.
Of course.
That'll be like the final sting is you get to see him as Boba Fett. Is he a hero? Is he an anti-hero? Is he an asshole? What direction does he go? That's the big question. If he's the Fett.
Is he the big bad? I mean, I think that'd be amazing.
Plus they got the Giancarlo thing hanging out there, which.
Oh, yeah, it's true, yeah.
Is Boba Fett
the Dark Shaber?
Is Boba Fett the thread that Mando needs to find where he needs to bring the child?
Is that the
problem? It would be weird as fuck, though. I mean, Boba hasn't left the planet, clearly, so he shouldn't have too much intel.
and he's got to smell bad.
Oh.
Yeah. While we still have some time, let's get to let's list off some of the Easter eggs that we found, which is, I'm going to consider some of the best fan service that I've seen in a long time. Because when we saw something like Rise of Skywalker, or even some of the stuff in Last Jedi. Some of that.
Holy shit, that was involuntary.
A lot of that fan service felt like they were taking it, lubing it up, and like sliding it down your throat.
No, no, it was a fist.
Not the direction I thought you were going.
Yeah, there was no lube. It was unwelcomed. Okay, yeah. You know it. So, you didn't feel good.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of the cast, I'm going to have to ignore both of these guys and just take it on my own.
Honesty's honesty, man.
Take it on my own. Wait, what? Yeah. All right, so fan service, great question. I'll start with a little one, but they've hit it a couple times, but it's always fun. So one, first of all, is the fact that Tatooine, where we get back to Tatooine, huge. And we get there, there's like 15, 20 little references that came in the first episode for Star Wars movie that we are always fun to pepper in, and this one is the Womp Rat. So we have known about Womp Rats since the quote about, I used to peg Womp Rats on my TC-13 back home. And so they would always describe this little animal that Luke would shoot at as just an example of why he was a good pilot slash target. We got to see those little guys running around. They look like these little kangaroo rats. And so that's always a fun nod and build on just a reference. But I'll give you that one for starters. Molly.
That might have been the only one I got, actually.
When he lands in that Amy Sedaris, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
In her garage, an R6 unit comes out. I think she calls her R6. And did you see when it rolls up into the screen? They show a portal on the back of the R6, and it's like burnt out. And there's an R6 unit in one of the other movies that like flames start shooting out of its head and it burns out.
Yeah, it's so the reason. It's the origin story of R2.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that it's put right in front of the screen, so you're supposed to see it.
I think it's the same unit, which is huge, because that was the one the Jawas tried to push on Uncle Owen, and then it blew up.
Oh, yeah, that's where it was.
So that was the one that Uncle Owen buys first, and then that's where Luke says, hey, and this one's got a this R2 unit's got a bad motivator, or this R unit's got a bad motivator, and that's where C-3PO steps up and says, take R2-D2. So I think that's the same one. It's definitely the same model, because people have loved it for years. That's a great pick. I forgot about that.
Not much of a Easter egg, but did you know John Leguizamo was like the mob boss person in the first scene?
It sounded just like him.
Yeah. No.
God damn it. Why can't I think of a person with one eye? Cyclops, right? That guy?
What?
Yeah, the guy with one eye, that was John Leguizamo. I'm not sure if he was in the suit or if he was just doing the voice.
In the opening scene.
He was short enough to be Leguizamo.
Yeah. So the biggest Easter egg, Three Toes, you and I have talked about this, and I'm surprised Doom didn't catch this, was the rocket in the back of the Boba Fett's armor. So when I was a kid, I remember getting a Boba Fett action figure, and he had a little spring-loaded rocket in the back of it. Yep. But we never saw it in the movie. He never shot a rocket out of his back.
Which you should have.
And we always thought, like, why is there a rocket in this action figure? Whatever. So when crouched down and shot that rocket out of his back, I like got goosebumps. I'm like, it brought me back to when I was a kid playing with my action figure. I'm like, it took this long for these
that's
fan service to me.
That's an animated thing. Like, I think if you were to watch like the Clone Wars and shit, like Filoni was all about like, there's a whole arc on Mandalore, and I mean, that was like a thing. Like, they would fly around and blow the shit out of stuff with the rock. I mean, taking down tanks and shit. Gotcha. So, but live action, to your point, it was fucking glorious.
Well, and take it a level deeper. Did you read the article of the history of that setup, that toy? So the backstory and the nod is it's just one of the biggest stories in Star Wars lore and Star Wars toy collector lore is that when Kenner first came out with the first line of action figures, what they did was said, if you buy a certain number of figures and save the proof of purchase, you could send them in and get a free Boba Fett figure. And that's a huge deal. The one that they had that you could get for free had a launching missile on the back. And so it was a big deal, save up, send away. Well, what they found out was before they got released, and this is where the story gets interesting, is that this little missile could be shot in the back of a kid's throat. And so they recalled the idea of sending those out and then just send them out with it fixed in the toy. Since then, there's been variants that can shoot missiles.
My buddy, when I was a kid, had a brother who was, let's say, 5 or 6 years older than us, who at that time, so this was like in the late 80s, in the late 80s, knew that he should be collecting these things. And he had two of those. And that's why he gave his younger brother one, and we were playing with it nonstop.
Well, and that's
crazy. Where's that guy now?
They had that figure. So for years, people have talked about how this toy has a pretty big value on it because, and this is where things get hinky, is Kenner swears they never released any of them to the public, but public have said they have them. And at the time, I remember them being out. I think I had a buddy who had one. So they did. I feel like it's one of those kind of urban legend knots. But that whole thing, and the fact that the picture, if you look on the back of the original Star Wars figures, it shows him bent over to launch the missile. And so the comment that a lot of people made was in this episode of Mandalorian, when Oliphant launches the missile, he does this like bend over move, which would be stupid if you have a tracker system on a missile. It's clearly more than a little nod. And it's huge Star Wars fan. It's fine.
Oh yeah. And is that the kind of fan service that we need? Is that?
Yeah. That's the good kind.
I think that's straight up.
I want a peck on the cheek, not a slap in the face.
You know? Right. I think that's what made like Ready Player One amazing, where there was these little nods, these little type of things. It wasn't trying to get too much in your face. I mean, it's there, but there's just these nods to things that everybody known for years. When you get a nod to something like the Hidden Room in Adventure on Atari 2600 or the Konami code, something that only old school nerds are going to know. Those are kind of fun little things. The show doesn't rely on it, but it uses it well. And that's what I love. I love the opening scene. You just reminded me, Chewy, of the fight, the Gamorrean guards. Awesome to see the Gamorrean guards in the fight. Just to see those characters that we've kind of touched on before.
I think you nailed it there, 3-2. I was like, I think that was the difference, and that's why The Mandalorian is a kind of a work of art in comparison.
Yep.
They don't – like the Return of Rise of Skywalker, fan service, they needed it to tell the story, and it did not work. The Mandalorian uses it for fun.
Yep.
And it's like it's why it's a different experience and why I would rather watch – episode one of The Mandalorian 9 times than those 3 movies.
It's weirdly original without being original. It's taking things like well-worn troops, but it makes them in a different way to make it somewhat original. And then it gives you these little nods and fun little things to find, or just little references, which I'm like, I'll take all day long.
Well, I think it's a good place to kind of tie a bow on it, at least for now, because we're most likely going to be talking about this for the next, how many episodes is this? Is it going to be 8 episodes?
Is there 8 again?
10 episodes?
It's definitely it's got to come up weekly because there's really dick else to talk about. So we'll be on it.
Really, we're going to be talking about this at least through the holidays. So I'm giving that first episode a 10 out of 10. I think you guys probably
easily
agree.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I came in with a little bit of chip on my shoulder thinking the first season was great. They're not going to be able to sustain it. It's going to start to get stale. And I want to rewatch that episode right now. So it got me.
Same thing here. I may rewatch it tonight with the wife.
Yeah, so I think that's 8 episodes, boys.
8 episodes.
They've named them all already.
So we're going through, let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
December 18th.
They go right up to Christmas.
December 18th is the last.
Did you do that so quick?
At least Disney and Lucasfilm are giving us that, like, that Christmas Star Wars that we kind of, they were kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They were grooming us for, and then they just shit the bed with.
I'll take it. Also, which I think, Chewie, you brought up, there is an actual Lego Star Wars holiday special. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it, but I'm going to watch it. Why not?
Did you watch the trailer?
Oh, no. Holiday.
I'm going in blind.
If you watch the trailer, they're working everything in, and it's just going to be self-referential. And I actually laughed a couple times, so it'll be great to watch with the kiddos, I think.
Lego stuff is cute. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Fast food item of the week. I got one real quick for you guys.
Do it.
Okay.
They opened up, and I know, Doom, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. They opened up a Raising Cane's literally 5 minutes away from my house. And
Gross.
And I hope those places just start to explode all over the place. Because I watched an interview with the owner of Raising Cane's, really cool dude. I hope his business does well because his chicken fingers and pepper sauce are magnifique.
Is there anything out in the Westburg? I'll have to look it up. I'll Google it.
Look it up. I believe the first one I went to was in not too far from you, I think.
Okay.
So check it out. It's chicken fingers, French fries, and garlic bread. That's all I got to say. Excellent.
Awesome.
Do me want to see this out?
On that note. guys and girls. Guys and girls, thank you for listening. Check out AstroFactory.com where you can find more information about this episode and all other episodes. And there you can leave us a voicemail that we may play on a future episode of the podcast.
Listen, share, and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any podcast app of your choice. If you like the show, please tell your like-minded friends. Anything you can do to spread the word helps us take over the world. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for up-to-the-minute coverage of what we geek out about. Oh, and don't forget this week, watch a movie, read a comic, and do some gaming. I'm Chewy.
He tells Pierre, boo!
I'm James Von Doom, and remember, until the robots rise up, put your ankles in it.
Unless you're a Tusken Raider.
Adios, boys.
Hey, be good, brother.
Yep. Thank you.